sing that one more time to Jesus. I'll stand.
And I'll stand with arms wide apart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand. My soul loves you, surrendered all I have is yours.
All I have is yours. Say all.
It's yours.
Sing it four more times. All I have.
All I have is yours.
So I want you to get that in your spirit. Say it again.
All I have is yours.
Say all
I have is yours.
One more time.
All I have is yours.
About that statement, all I have is yours. When God asks us to give, He's not asking us to give something that He doesn't have permission to receive. When you understand that Christ is your Lord, the word Lord means that He owns you. And I don't think we understand, we always talk about Christ as our Savior, but we need to also understand He's not just our Savior, He's also our Lord. And the Bible says that Christ purchased us with His blood. That He bought us. And when He died for us, it wasn't just so that we were saved, we were set free, and we're doing our own thing. Now we are now servants of Christ. We are now serving God.
Yes.
And that means as we serve Him, the Bible says whoever you serve becomes your master.
Right.
And before Christ, we used to serve sin. But now that we've been set free from sin, we're now servants of righteousness, and Christ is our righteousness. We're now servants of God Himself. And He's our Savior, but He's also our Lord. And so God Himself, if He owns us, everything that we have is His.
Right.
It goes back to, you see, that statement, Jesus is Lord, is so important. That means when I say Jesus is my Lord, I'm giving Him permission to be Lord. Not just over some areas of my life. Either He's Lord of all or He's Lord of none. He can't be a Lord and He has lordship of just some things in my life. He must be Lord of everything in my life. So that means my money, He's the Lord over it. My time, He's the Lord over it. My resources, my job, my family, my marriage. Everything that you have access to that you say is yours really goes back to Him. And He's the Lord. And that's why what Dre was saying about when we come to church, most people in most churches expect to just give 10% of their money. And, you know, we say that, you know, you should tithe to the Lord, make sure you give God the 10%. But when you really understand that Christ is Lord, He doesn't just have permission for 10% of your money.
Come on.
He has access to all of it. Come on. And so, I love to tithe, and tithing is a great practice. But for me, I'm beyond just the tithe. I want to give God my tithes. But my 10%, if the Lord needs me to give 80%, He's my Lord. I'll give Him 80%. Why? Because He's my supplier. He's my provider. You know what I'm saying? If He gives me the same 100% before, and 10% is it, He can give me another 80%, another 90%, another 100%. He is my provider. And so, I believe that as Sister Adele gave that testimony about how the Lord is provided for them. I believe it was just and everything is life, just a test. It was a test for her to grow in her faith and her confidence that job or no job, I'm your provider. There were two people weren't working in the house, married. God still provides. We have a beautiful Lord, a faithful Savior. And if we see how beautiful He is, we can stand in the midst of any circumstance we go through. When we know that His character cannot change, He is good no matter what. What circumstances may change, things may be up today and down tomorrow, but I know my God is good. I know He's faithful. He can't lie. His character is fixed, and we can trust Him. Amen. And I really want to believe that as we move into this Giving is Living series, we're modeling God's grace. We are modeling His expression of goodness towards us. You know, last week we talked about how our soul prospers, and God desires for our soul to prosper. Anybody was here last week when we talked about in the book of Third John chapter 2, where he states that, "Beloved, I pray that you will prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." And so prosperity, number one, we understand prosperity is God's will. God wants us to prosper in life. But he said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So God doesn't just want you to prosper superficially or on the surface and have tons of money. Because if your soul is not prospering, if on the inside of you is not taken care of, it doesn't matter what you accumulate on the outside, you're going to lose it all. So what would a prophet man gains or loses his own soul? God wants you to prosper inwardly first. He wants you to prosper in your soul. Your soul is the place where you think, where you feel, and where you make decisions. All that you internalize about yourself, your self-image, your personality, all those things are in your soul. So God wants your soul to prosper. He wants you to have a prosperous mindset. He wants you to have a prosperous emotional life, a healthy emotional life. Yeah, we talked about when we prosper, it's not just only about money. It's talking about having peace. Having that peace in the midst of the situation. Still having a peace. Still having joy. That's prospering. I was just thinking about the other day how sometimes I've realized that by the time you get to a certain age, your teenager, by the time you get to high school, I was talking to one of the deans in my school. We've seen kids who came into high school, 99% now, 95 average, 90 average, excellent grades, and by the time they're leaving high school, struggling to get by, probably wasn't even, barely graduated. Then we've seen kids who started off 55, 65, and then just change it all. And I'm like, what is the difference between this kid who's now, you know, flourishing in comparison to the kid who comes in, starts off slow, starts off great, and then ends off slow? And I realized, like, when you get to high school, you reach an age where your intelligence is not that important anymore. You hear what I'm about to say? Not that it's not important. Intelligence can be developed and shaped. I can learn to do something. I can learn to pass my class. I can learn to pass this regents if I simply apply myself and get, you know, buckled down. Just like this kid who started off at the 55 and worked his way up. The same person who had the 95 in the beginning now works down. I realize that what's more important and what's not really valued anymore in education is your soul, your character. Why? Because the kid with the 95 in the beginning, the kid with the 55 in the beginning, this one kid seemed to have more of an advantage because he was smarter, but this kid with the 55 who was able to work beyond that had a character within himself. And it wasn't his smarts. It was something, a resilience, a persistence, a drive that allowed him to get to the next level in comparison to the kid with the 95 who started falling off, right? And those things, those character traits serve to be more important when you get into the real world. By the time you graduate school, what's your report card? What's your grade in life? What's grading you? You know, you don't have any more report cards. Right? So you got to learn to prosper in your soul. And if you can prosper and be in good health in your soul, you can learn to prosper in any condition in life. We all know some of the greatest, most prosperous financially people in the world. How many of them didn't graduate high school? Or graduate high school and never graduated college, right? They don't have the intelligence. But what did they have? These character traits that prove to help them prosper in life. You know what I'm saying? Successfully. And so I've realized that we need to even embrace teaching people how to prosper solely in their character and their heart. And these are the things, these traits, I believe, they call it emotional intelligence. You know, we have an IQ and then you have an EQ, your emotional quotient. I really believe that God wants you to prosper. And that's why he's big on healing you from the inside out first. Emotional healing. All those things play over into your money. It plays over into your health. It plays over into your relationships, right? All those things carries on. So God wants us to prosper. And when you make him the Lord of your life, one of the first things that you accept about Christ is that he loves you. Correct? We know that God loves us. And our soul prospers when we know that we're loved. Many people throw away everything in life because they feel nobody loves them. This kid killed 20-some kids over in Connecticut because more than likely he felt no one loved him. You know what I'm saying? A soul prospers when they know that they are loved, first. And number two, after that, you prosper in the word of God. What is God saying about me? What's God's view of me? When you begin to build a self-image along the lines of how God thinks about you, come on, you're unstoppable after that. Because God's desire is to prosper you. So when I know I'm loved by God and he loves me unconditionally, he proved that by dying for me, by giving his all for me. When I embrace and receive the love of God, then my soul begins to prosper. I can have a new self-confidence. If no one else liked me before, if no one was thinking about me, if there's one thing I know, God loves me, he's crazy about me. Come on. And that is the mindset we are supposed to live with every day. We wake up receiving more of God's love for us. Amen? And then when you learn to prosper in this area of God's love, no one has to tell you to be generous with your life. No one has to tell you to give. Because you know your love and God is generous to you, you find ways to generously bless people. Amen? You desire to be a blessing. Because God has blessed you. And this is where we're going. The next phase. Today's message is called the blessing of the Lord. And I want you to just turn real fast to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to read two texts. This verse, after this, we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Proverbs 10:22 reads, the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Somebody say rich.
Rich.
And he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. Has anybody received the blessing of the Lord in their life?
Amen.
We received Jesus into our lives. He himself is the blessing. Amen. When we've accepted Christ, the blessing of the Lord wants to do a work in you. When he makes you rich. When he makes you prosperous. Amen. Not just money. I'm talking about your entire life. God wants to improve the quality of your life. He wants you to prosper in life. He wants you to enjoy life and have a life and a life that's abundant. Amen? And then so we move from this blessing of the Lord, and I want us to turn into Luke chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 26. Luke 1, verse 26. Now, this is the story of Mary. This is the Christmas season. And so we're going to tie in the blessing of the Lord in Mary's life. And how this played out.
Come on.
Yeah, right? Verse 26. And the Bible says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Say, I have found favor with God.
I have found favor with God.
And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can this happen? I never had intercourse with a man. So how can I be pregnant with a baby? Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Two more verses. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is his 6th month with her, which who was once called barren. For with God, highlight that verse if you can, for with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
My God.
All right? Mary received the blessing of the Lord in her life.
Yes.
Now, if we understand the story correctly, Mary, being a virgin, was espoused to a man named Joseph. Getting ready, espoused being engaged. They were getting ready to become, you know, they were getting married. Now, she was a virgin. And at the time, that wasn't nothing that was such a big of a deal, because in the Jewish customs, it was normal for the woman to remain pure, to remain virgin. Unlike in today's society, anything goes. All right? But in the Jewish customs, in the Jewish traditions, you had to make sure that you were pure before you got married. You know that, and on even on a wedding night, they would check to make sure you were still a virgin. They made sure you had a nice white sheet, so that when the husband, you and your husband intercourse, they wanted to make sure there was a red stain on the bed. And they checked. And you had to literally hang the sheet up out on the outside so that family members can see that she was still a virgin. I mean, it was serious, right? They wanted to make sure. And if you did, if you weren't a virgin, then it had some consequences. So, in Mary's day, her being a virgin, although the Bible stresses that she was, it wasn't so much like, oh, she was the only virgin around town. There were plenty of them. But for the Bible says, Mary found favor with God. She found favor. Favor is the undeserved, unmerited grace of God given to someone. It wasn't because she was just so much better. It was something about Mary that the Lord just loved. That the Father chose Mary to be used. And I believe one of the reasons why Mary was chosen was because of her faith. More so, not so much her actions in her life, but her faith to believe God. Because we've seen it played out that that she was able to allow the blessing of the Lord to take place. Now watch this. At first, Mary wasn't too thrilled about this. The Bible says in verse 29, when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled at his saying. She was perplexed and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Or what are you talking about? The angel said, you are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women. Why? Because you have found favor with God and you're about to conceive in your womb a son to call his name Jesus. You know, this wrecked Mary's plans. Mary wasn't expecting to have a baby at this time in her life. She was expecting to get married. The order is, we get married, then I get pregnant, and I have a baby. God takes Mary while she's still espoused, just engaged, and said, I'm going to impregnate you. And you're going to have a son before your marriage. Now, we just talked about the Jewish custom and culture. You didn't get, first of all, you didn't have sex before you were married back then. And if you didn't have sex, you couldn't have a baby out of wedlock either. So the blessing of the Lord started in Mary's life inconveniently. It happened suddenly. She didn't expect for it to happen the way that it happened. Right? Her plans were ruined. She was going to have to share this with her family. How do you explain to somebody, I'm pregnant, but not with my husband to be? How do you explain that? Mary was immediately thrusted into a scandal, what we will call it today. Drama. People are going to start talking about her around town. She's going to have to give some story that some angel came to her and said she's going to give birth to the Son of God. All right? It totally wrecked their marriage plans. And if the blessing of the Lord started this way, the Bible says it maketh rich and adds no sorrow. Mary could have taken this situation the wrong way, and it could have added sorrow into her life.
Yes.
Come on. So when God said, you know what, Mary, I know you got some plans. God says, I have bigger plans for you. I have bigger plans for you. And I said, I'm going to blow your mind. She said, you're going to give birth. What does it say? What the Bible says? Verse 31. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So now, Mary was now being thrusted into a life of faith, and God was asking her to now live in the impossible. And I want you to look at Mary as the first Christian, because she was. She was the first person to have Christ in her.
My God, come on, man.
So when we look at Mary's life, we're looking at the early church. We're looking at the church. We're looking at Christians. We're looking at a believer. Christ formed in her. She was the first receiver, believer, and conceiver of Christ.
Jesus. Say that again.
All right? She was the first person to believe in the Lord, the first person to receive the Lord, and the first one to conceive him on the earth. And every Christian has a womb. Every Christian has a place on the inside of them where that's designated specifically for giving birth to Christ in this world. You have something on the inside of you that God wants to impregnate you with. The Word of God, he wants to impregnate you and have you, to cause you to conceive something in this earth. Whatever it is, it's going to bring glory to God. It's going to be an expression of Christ. But every one of us have a womb that God wants to impregnate and put Christ on in the inside of you. It's a place reserved just for him. And God wants you to give birth to that. That's why, as Christians, when you come into the presence of God, you're not just coming to sing some songs. You're coming to get pregnant. You're coming to receive something from God that you're going to walk out of here with, that you're going to carry and seek to give birth to it in the world.
Jesus.
Every song we sing, every worship encounter, this word that I'm delivering to you, my goal is to let's see Christ formed in you. So Paul said in Galatians 4:19, he said, I travail and I labor to see Christ formed on the inside of you. So Mary received the blessing of the Lord. But in order to receive this blessing, in order to experience this miracle in her life, she also had to embrace mystery. And I want you to write that down. She had to embrace mystery in order to experience the miraculous. Now, immediately, she didn't know what was going to happen next. You're saying to me, I'm going to give birth to the Son of God. I'm not married. What is this going to look like in front of my friends, my family? What's going to happen to my marriage? That was not what I had planned. Come on, ladies. If you spend months and months planning a marriage and something like this happened, how would you react to that? You're not going to be too thrilled about that. God, you just ruined my plans and said I got favor. And I really believe if we think about it this way, when we ask for the blessings of God to come upon our lives, are we willing to embrace the changes that's going to take place as a result of what's happening? Because when God is intervening and interfering with our lives and being involved with the affairs of our lives, we got to expect some things to shift around us. We got to expect the situations in our lives to start going topsy-turvy, to look one way today and is looking this way. Why? Because God is a God of mystery. We can plan and we can plan and we can plan and we can do all this planning, but are we making room for the miraculous? Because if we are, then God wants to do something that you didn't plan. Because if you planned it, it's you, not him. If I'm involving God in my life, I can't put everything, get everything tied down to a T and say, okay, God, fit inside this box. God is bigger than my box. So God is going to say, okay, I see your box, and I'm going to do something over here, and I want you to catch up to me. Because my plans are always bigger and greater than yours. So I've learned to embrace mystery in my life. Mary had to embrace this. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but Lord, your word says. Look at what happened. She said, after the Holy, this everything happened, verse 34, then said Mary to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I didn't engage in any human activity in order for this to happen. I did nothing to generate this miracle in my life. How is this going to happen? For most of us, we're used to working, we're used to striving, we're used to doing, getting things done in our own effort. But when God wants to do a work, he doesn't want you to do it based on your own strength. So Mary was like, I didn't do anything for this to make this happen. How can this happen? But Mary's only role, or her only responsibility in this whole matter was to believe God and keep believing God until it came to pass. That's the only thing she was required to do. She didn't have to find another person to have sex with. She didn't have to do any. She didn't have to do anything to try to make this happen, right? It was, the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. So the Lord gives me a word. It's something that's impossible for me to accomplish in my own strength. And I simply have to believe God's word that he will supply the power, supply the resources, supply the money, supply whatever it is that I need to do what he asked me to do. You see that? Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I didn't do anything of my own strength to get this done. The Lord says, okay, the power of the Holy Spirit will do it for you. That's why I say every Christian is called into the life of the impossible. Every Christian is called to live a supernatural life, because the minute you embrace Christ, that you receive the blessing of the Lord, you are immediately called to now live in the impossible. God, that's the way God works. You know what you can do in your own strength, and that's possible for you. The things you cannot do in your own strength, that's impossible. And that's the very thing God wants to do in your life. Come on. So it was impossible to go 3 months without working and get all your needs met. It's an impossible situation. And the Lord did it for our sister. God is inviting us into a life of the impossible. But you got to embrace the fact that God, your word says, it goes back to his word. Mary had to hang on every word the angel said. She had to believe the word. She had to receive the word in order for her to what? Conceive the word. That is the process of manifestation, or the flow of conception of God's word in your life. I first believe it, I receive it, then I conceive it. That's the way it works. I believe what your word says, and I'm going to keep believing until it fully manifests in my life. The only thing Mary had to do was keep believing God. Look what happened first few verses later. The Bible then says in verse 37, For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, look at what Mary's response is. This is it right here. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. That was the secret of Mary's success, and that's going to be the secret of your success if you're going to prosper in life. Lord, your word says, be it unto me according to your word. It doesn't make sense how all of this is going to play out in my life, but be it unto me according to your word. Mary had every reason to resist this word. She was going to be the butt of jokes. She was going to experience controversy, scandal, shame, ridicule. All these things were going to be attached to having the blessing of the Lord in her life. You know that, right? Are you seeing this? We want to be a blessed people, but we got to understand when you're blessed, the world isn't going to look at it like that. People are not going to understand the favor of God on your life. They're not going to understand how this favor and these blessings are working on you. But you have to maintain a hope and maintain a joyful expectation that, Father, nothing is impossible with you. I just trust that what you said is going to come to pass. Let it be done unto me according to your word. I don't have to stress myself out. I don't have to worry about how it's going to happen. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, and God will prosper you. God will make a way out of no way for you. He will provide all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Come on. But the blessing of the Lord oftentimes comes and makes things inconvenient for you. It becomes uncomfortable. This was an uncomfortable moment for Mary. Her marriage plans are ruined. Completely ruined. Anybody watch Bridezilla? You ever seen how brides got just by one or two, three things going off track? Now that nothing on that show was compared to what happened here at this moment. Nothing. But look at Mary's reaction to the whole thing. This is why I believe she found favor with God. She embraced God's word. She simply received it. She believed it. And the Lord allowed her to conceive it. God allowed her to experience the blessing of the Lord in her life. God allowed her to walk into the supernatural. And like I said before, we are all called to become pregnant with Christ. Every Christian is carrying Christ on the inside of them. But just because he's there, the first step was you believing. Now you have to move into a place where you're looking to conceive Christ in your life, in your world, in every sphere of influence that you're connected to. How is Christ going to be made manifest in your life? You receive the blessing, he's in you. But how are you finding ways to manifest it around you? He's in you. He's carrying you. You're carrying him. Right? Look at what the Bible says in 1 Peter. Let me show you guys this verse. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 22 and 23. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Holy Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. See, the word of God is living and abiding in you once you receive it. And that seed has been deposited on the inside of you. And that seed is not a corruptible seed. It's not a seed that can corrode. It's an incorruptible seed, an indestructible seed. God's word in your life has been deposited in you, and it doesn't leave. You just have to find a way to see that it grows in you. That God's word, that seed of God, will begin to, in terms of labor and pregnancy, come to full term. Because there are a lot of people who get saved and they receive Christ, but they don't carry him full term. Come on. They get pregnant with something, a prophetic word, a prophecy, something that God tells them to do, but then they allow situations in their lives to add sorrow to them, and what it does is it stifles the developmental process of Christ on the inside of them. So Jesus said, for example, he says, you can have the word in you, but sometimes you get there are weeds that grow and chokes the word of life. Mm-hmm. Or he said the birds of the air can come and try to take it away. The enemy is constantly trying to get you to not believe God's word. He's trying to get you to doubt the word. Because when you doubt the word, you now deny the power of the Spirit to now take residence on the inside of you. So the enemy is trying to get you to doubt, and it's trying to get you to cause the growth of Christ in you to be stunted. But we have to believe, like Mary believed, that with God nothing shall be impossible. Lord, you promised me perfect health. Lord, your word says that by your stripes I am healed. So I believe your word, for nothing shall be impossible with you. Once you believe it, that's one step. Then you receive it, that's the second step. But now you have to keep believing it until it manifests in your life. So healing is promised to every believer, but if you believe today and doubt tomorrow, then you're stopping the process of that word to be conceived in your life. Every word that Christ releases over you, it's looking to be made manifest in your life, but you have to carry through in the process of believing. When do you stop believing? You keep believing until it comes to pass. So somebody might say, well, I got this word last year that God was going to heal me or God's going to turn my finances around, and then it didn't happen, so they stopped believing. How long do you carry a child on the inside of you?
9 months.
9? Some people say 10. All right? You carry the seed. That's how it feels longer than that. Little females, right? But you carry it, but there's a time frame, isn't it? It's not that you get pregnant today and you have the baby tomorrow. Mary had to carry this baby full term to see its maturity. So when you're pregnant with a promise, when you're pregnant with an expectation of a word of God, whatever God may have told you, and I believe that everyone in here should be hearing God speak to them. God should be telling you something. It's something that God has promised you, something that you've heard the Lord tell you, whatever it is. If you believe in God for something, do not doubt and allow that word to become stillborn on the inside of you. You have to let that word continue to be formed. Your believing is allowing the process to continue to work. You're internalizing the word. You're allowing that word to grow and grow and grow. And then the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, when that word is inside of you, it's forming and turning and growing. And then there's a point where faith, when that faith grows to a place where it becomes manifested on the outside, it becomes a substance, it becomes an evidence where you can actually see it in the natural. I'm believing God for a facility that's going to house Hungry for God Church and our school. Come on. I believe in God for that. I see it.
Yes.
I was driving the other day, and I saw Shanique. I said, Shanique, I just saw myself come outside on the stage. And I saw the stage, and it was like a glass podium like this. And I saw the steps, and I walked up. I came from the stage itself, but I saw the steps, and I saw the auditorium-style seating. I saw it. And I said, I see other rooms, and I said, these rooms are where the school is going to be. So we're going to have our church in the school. We're going to have the school, and we're going to have the auditorium, and we're going to have services. I saw it.
Same thing.
You saw it? Come on. I saw it. So now the Lord gave me this picture, this photograph of my future, of the future hungry for God. Showed it to me. Now my job is to believe it and make it happen. Carry it out. Conceive it. And as I stand here today and I say it, you're going to see it come to pass. Because I'm holding on to this. Where we are right now, this church is simply a manifestation of what God showed me a few years ago. I didn't want to believe it at first, that I'll be pastoring today. But he showed it to me. Right? I saw our worship recording project. I saw that. So next year, we're going to work on our worship recording project. I saw that 3-4 years ago. And so when God begins to speak to you and he gives you these visions, he gives you these dreams, he gives you these ideas, you got to know that when God shows you something, your responsibility, like Mary, is to simply believe and conceive it. Work towards it, manifesting it, whatever it is. Mary had to continue to live, to eat right, had to continue to maintain her body, right? When you're carrying something, your lifestyle changes, doesn't it? When a woman is pregnant, she gets more tired. I wish Chantel was here. She could give her testimony. Right? You feel more tired because you feel the weight of what you're carrying. Or you feel the pain of what you're carrying. You can't live your life the same way because you're carrying something on the inside of you. That's why it's so important that every one of us is carrying a word. You're carrying a vision. You're carrying a dream. You're carrying something that God wants to release or manifest Christ in the earth through you with. For some of you, it might be a business that will change the world. It might be a school. It might be a nonprofit organization. And whatever it is that the Lord is showing you that he wants you to bring glory to Christ with, manifest it. Believe him for it. Why? Because in verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be what?
Impossible.
Come on.
Yes.
And I realized when God is asking you to do something, you never have the resources, the money, anything that you need to get it done. Anything God asks you to do is usually too big for you to do it in your own strength. Once again, it's because you need to depend on him in order for you to see it through, to carry it through. Mary received Jesus miraculously, the blessing of the Lord in her life. You're going to see the blessing of the Lord manifested in your life miraculously. And I'm declaring that over Hungry for God Church, and as we've seen testimony after testimony of God providing supernaturally for our members, I believe that this is going to continue to be the norm for us.
Yes.
That we're going to continue to see God do miraculous things for us. We're going to see God do the supernatural on our behalf because God wants to do a work for us in our day. Religion taught us we got to work for God. The Bible actually shows us that God says, I want to do a work for you. I will do a work in your days, the Bible said. You know the verse that was? It was in Acts somewhere. Who was here for the first message I preached? Where's your notes? I'm not going to look for it now. Oh yeah, there it is. Bless you, Lord. You'll find it, Ryan.
Okay.
But check this out. We're pretty much done. But through this all, Mary was chosen. She was highly favored of God. She believed God, took God at his word, no matter what it will cost. And she really believed that we just saying that all I have is yours. Lord, I know I had a marriage planned, but all I have is yours anyway. Lord, I know I had my dreams lined up, and I knew what my career path was supposed to be. But Lord, if you desire to change those plans today, all I have is yours. That's what it means to have God, to have Jesus Christ as your Lord. That he has the responsibility of owning you, and if he owns you, he's taking care of you. care of you, providing all your needs, and my responsibility is to simply flow with the will of God. Because ultimately, the Bible says that all things will be summed up in Christ anyway. My plans, if it's not in line with what God plans for my life, it really doesn't matter. And you know what? It begins to add more stress. It begins to add more sorrow. It begins to add frustration because you're in disobedience. When you look at the fact that you were created in God's image and that God designed you and God crafted you and had a specific plan for your life, your one responsibility in life is to know God, know His plans for your life, and live those plans out. Because not only did God call you to simply follow His plans, but He knows that you're going to prosper in the area that He's called you to prosper in. It's like if Michael Jordan, remember when Michael Jordan tried to play golf? No, not golf, baseball. The great Michael Jordan, the greatest NBA player, who kids today are still buying sneakers over and over. Kids who never even seen him play, still buying sneakers because he was the greatest basketball player of all time. When he tried to do baseball, it didn't work out for him. And he came back in, NBA won 3 more championships. Why? Because that was a plan that God had for him. You prosper and you succeed in the areas God has graced you in. Where God has given you a gift, He's given you a grace, that is where God wants you to be. If you try to do anything outside of that, you won't prosper in that area. A seed can grow in its in the habitat or the atmosphere that has it's designed to grow in, right? It's just like your life. God called Adam and said, Adam, I place you in this garden. This is where you're going to prosper. When Adam sinned and he stepped out of the garden, the glory was lost. Because the glory of God is found. You live in that purpose. When you find out what God has called you to do and you get into His presence and you live in an awareness of His presence, it brings you the peace. It brings you the joy. That's just a part of the package. You prosper and you remain in good health when you do the things that God asks you to do. So once again, as I close, what is it that God is calling you to do? And what are you trying to do? That's it. It goes back to, what is it that God is calling you to do and what are you trying to do? And then Jesus just says, well, all you need to do is repent. Change your way of thinking. Just come back into an alignment. Come back into an agreement with me. And if you follow my will, you're going to experience my peace that passes all understanding. You're going to experience this joy that's everlasting. This joy that will be your strength. Things will become easier for you. You know, I take pride in not knowing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I talk to that all the time. Jay, are you pastoring? Yeah, you ready? By grace. I'm listening to what the Lord said, go. For with God, nothing is impossible. See, God wants this house to be a house of miracles. He wants this place to be a place where the supernatural will abound in our lives. You know why? Because we will not go into depend on our strength. I want to be a supernatural pastor. Mm-hmm. I want to pastor you from a supernatural place where I'm not depending on my strength. I'm not even looking at the resources that we have, the money that we have. Shanique can tell you, from the first week we started this church, whether it was everyone, the church was filled, or we had 4 people here. Every week, we had enough for rent.
Every week.
It didn't matter the amount that was here. We didn't come in here with any money. We didn't start this plan with anything. Just believe in God for it. And it was just so amazing. Every week, you just had more than enough. It didn't matter who was here. You know, and just to see that, even in this short time of 3 months, that God will provide and supply, take care of the needs of His work. If we partner up with that and we really move forward in what God wants us to do. I'm telling you, God is going to open up the floodgates. He's going to unlock the storehouses. Heaven is going to be opened up over our lives. And God wants you to partner in with this. As I close, I really believe 2013 is going to be a year where we're going to see the supernatural wisdom of God on display in our lives. We're going to see God do things for us. And again, the blessing of the Lord is going to make you rich. But don't look at it in a wrong way. Don't take the blessing that God does, because it's going to be inconvenient at first. This blessing of Jesus Christ and Mary's life inconvenienced her, ruined her plan, her marriage plans. But she didn't walk away with that and became sorrowful about it. She said, "Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. I don't care what my husband is going to think. I don't care what my family is going to think. Your word says it. I'm going to believe it. And we're going to believe it. And I'm just going to watch you manifest it in my life."
Amen.
Come on. That's how the blessing works. So embrace mystery. Learn to embrace that in 2013 as we move forward into this new year. Embrace when you see things start working out, say, "Wait a minute, that's not what I had planned." Don't look at it and say, "The devil is after me." All right, yeah, I expected this to happen. It didn't work out this way. Don't walk away and think that everything is closing in and it's the end of the world and everything's wrong. No. Say, "God, I ask you to come in and do let your will be done. So this is beyond my control. I know you're doing something."
Yes.
You're working behind the scenes. That's how you work. That's how you live in this peace. And when God sees that you're trusting him, I really believe that's God's addiction. To be trusted. God, if God was to have an addiction, it would be to be believed. Because he will watch a person go to hell before he enters in to help them if they don't believe him. If you don't have faith, he won't do anything for you. God wants to be believed. When we sinned, we lost our faith and our confidence in him. So God wants to do anything that he can. He's done it already in Christ by sending his son to die for us, to experience the penalty and the punishment and the judgment of sin for us. But we have to get to a place. God is doing all that he can to get our hearts, to get the attention of our lives once again and say, "Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to take you at your word, no matter what I feel, no matter my opinions. No matter my plans, Lord, you are the Lord of my lives." Amen?
Amen.
Can we just make a new confession to him and just really make that our sincere? If you really believe God and you really are expecting him to do supernatural things, if you desire to see the miraculous power and salvation of God in your life, I want you to be willing to say, "Lord, I let go of
all of my plans.
All of my issues.
All of my cares.
And I cast my cares on you. I take your yoke upon me. For your burden is light. I trust your word.
I believe your word.
I receive your word. And I will conceive your word.
I will give birth to it.
I will manifest Christ
in my life.
Lord, I thank you today
for changing my life.
And as Mary declared,
Let it be done unto me
according to your word.
Let healing
take place
according to your word.
Let deliverance
take place
in my life
according to your word.
Let signs and wonders
follow me
according to your word.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let's receive the blessing of the Lord. Come on, if you believe this blessing, let's receive it. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, your investment in the supernatural is going to be your security in the next year. Life is becoming more and more impossible to live. And I'm talking about from a natural perspective. For the world, they're realizing that it's becoming harder and harder to try to live life. That's why people are committing suicide. People are killing people and taking people's lives. Because they themselves realize, I can't make it on my own. Money, my job ain't providing enough. It's not cutting it. It's, you know what I'm saying? People are getting to a place where they're realizing they need a savior. They need something to help solve the problems in their lives. And this is why I really believe in Isaiah 60. The Bible says we ought to arise and shine. For the light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen on us. Because darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Yes. But the glory of the Lord will rise upon us. And rise on his people. Don't look at the darkness. Don't look at what's happening and it's looking like it's getting worse. Know that God is getting ready to release more of his glory in your life. All the things that are beyond your control, just give it to him. Just give it to him.